Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
He says, who is a liar? This is where he begins to say that the false believers, they don't believe in the true Christ, right? He says, who is a liar but he who denies Jesus is the Christ? And when he says that, he's talking about literally that he is God in human flesh, right? Because in 1 John chapter 4, he'll tell us over there, see if I can find that. 1 John chapter 4, he says in verse 2, he says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, is now already in the world. See, I brought these pieces of paper today. I hope you'll pick one up. I call them the unbendable doctrines, or who is your Jesus. And I put down there the things we need to believe to really know that we're truly a Christian. You know, that Christ was the Trinity, the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, that Jesus is God, that Jesus came in human flesh, that he was sinless, he's bodily resurrected, and he was seen for all these days after he raised from the grave, right? One day he's literally bodily coming back to earth. He died a substitutionary death. In other words, he died in our place, right? He died for my sins, your sins. That he's the only way to God. Salvation by grace through faith, apart from works. And that sits at the right hand making intercession, praying for us. He's our great high priest. Those are the things we need to know. And these are the things that these people were denying about Jesus. That he was God. Remember I said, if any of y'all were here and y'all remember from the past, that some of these people believed that Jesus was just this phantom, right? Or God was in a human body. But when he went to the cross, he was gone because God couldn't suffer. There's some of them believed that flesh was evil and spirit was good, so there's no way that God would ever be in a human body. So they believed all these crazy things about Jesus, and they didn't believe in the true Jesus of the Bible. But what did it say? You believe that Jesus came in the flesh. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect sinless life. He was born naturally. He grew up a regular life until he was about 30 years old. Then he began his ministry, right? He was 13 or so and he was teaching in the temple. And mama knew something was crazy then, you know, daddy, when they went looking for him. But he's in there teaching in the temple. And then when he's 30, he begins his ministry and then he culminates and finishes by dying on the cross for our sins, because the only way we could ever get to heaven is somebody had to die in our place, and that person had to be God, because a man can't die in eternally and pay for all our sins in that short period of time when he was on the cross. He said, it's finished. Those 3 hours of darkness, he paid for all of our sins. And so he says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that's the little a again, who denies the Father and the Son. You go back to John chapter 5, you know, some people say Jesus never said he was God. But Jesus says over and over in that chapter, he said, I and the Father are one. He says that in John 10:10, and he says in John chapter 5, if you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. He makes himself equal, right? He said, I and my Father are working until now. And he said they wanted to stone him all the more because he made himself equal with God. John 8, they tried to stone him. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I mean, over and over, he said he was God. They tell him, say, well, tell us plainly who you are. And he said, I told you and you will not believe. You just won't believe. They deny the Father and the Son, because if you deny the Son, you're denying the Father, right? Because they are one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Don't ask me to explain it. You try to explain the Trinity, you lose your mind. You try to say it's not true, you lose your soul. So that's the way it is. He says, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And so if you've got one, you've got the other, because they're inseparable, right? You cannot separate them. You know, we say, I got a body, soul, and a spirit. Can you separate those things? I want that, you know, the soul and the whatever, the spirit will be separated when we die. But we can't separate them. I don't know how it all works, but we say me, myself, and I. Am I three persons? No. I'm one, right? You don't hear that much anymore, do you? Me, myself, and I. Anyway, so he says, if you acknowledge the Son, you acknowledge the Father, and you had the Father also, right? And then he goes on in verse 24, and he says, therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. Just remember that word abide just means to remain or to stay. And at other times, it can speak of a close, intimate relationship, right? But here he says, let that remain in you which you've heard from the beginning. And that goes all the way back to chapter 1, right? That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of truth. What have you heard from the beginning? You heard the truth about Jesus. You heard he was God in human flesh. You heard he died for your sins. You heard he's the only way to heaven. You heard all these things. And if somebody tells you something else, what did Paul say in Galatians, I think it was, chapter 6, he said, I'll tell you, if anybody preaches to you any other gospel than what you've heard, let him be accursed. And he says, I say to you again, if even an angel from heaven comes to you and tells you anything other than what you heard, the gospel which has been preached to you, let them be accursed. Let them go to hell, right? Because they're not believing the right things, believing the truth. And so he says, let that remain in you which you've heard from the beginning. Continue to believe it. Continue to trust in it. Continue to stand on that truth, right? That's the old song, standing on the promises, right? Standing on the promises of God. And if you're not standing on the promises, you're just goofing off on the premises, right? You're not doing anything. And so he says, if what you've heard from the beginning remains or abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised to us, eternal life. See, really what he's talking about here is what, anybody ever heard of what they call the perseverance of the saints? Y'all ever heard of that? Well, the Bible says that, and I'll give you an illustration of that. The Bible talks about that. Let me turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And it talks about the fact that if you're truly a believer, what's going to happen? That you're going to continue with God, right? And if you fall away, he's either going to take you home, because you really belong to him, like I said earlier, because you get out of the will of God and God takes you home, are you really not a true believer? But when you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Who's our hope? Jesus, right? He's living hope. If he could die, we might not have hope, right? But we've got hope, he says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, he says here that you've got an inheritance, it's incorruptible or imperishable, it can never perish, it's undefiled, it can't be messed up, it can't be defiled by any kind of sin, or it does not fade away. In other words, it's not like you made a reservation at the hotel or the motel Holiday Inn and go to check in and all of a sudden they say, sorry sir, we don't have a reservation for you. God says, your reservation's right here, I got your name written in the book of life, right? And so he says here, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith. So you're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now here's the kicker of these verses right here. Because he says in this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, that's verse 6, you have been grieved by various trials, that, this is a condition, right, the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So what does he say? You remember what the parable of the souls and the seed says? The first one, the word comes and the devil comes, snatch the word away, right? And then one, because of the cares and the riches of the world, they rejoice for a little while. And the cares and the riches of the world come along and then they walk away, right? And then it says the third one, because of the persecution of the word, they look like they were a believer, but they walk off. And then the last one, he says that they do what? That they bear fruit. John 15 says, you will know them by their fruit. Those that get trimmed, he says, those that bear fruit, I trim them that they might bear more fruit, right? I mean, what do you do with a bush? You trim it, and it pops out with more stuff, right? And that's the same thing with a Christian. He trims on us. He whacks on us with all his little trials and tests and all the difficulties of life, and he does that to do what? To make us more like him, right? And until we realize that, a lot of times people go through life and they're looking at all the trouble and all the things they're going through, and they, you know, thinking, why is God always picking on me, you know? But he's not picking on us. He's trying to make us like him. He's trying to whittle everything away that doesn't look like him. I think I told y'all that story about the ugly piece of marble that Leonardo da Vinci saw. I think I told y'all that story before, but he said it was an old ugly piece of marble, and he said, I see a line in that piece of marble. And he said, that's an ugly piece of marble. How do you get a line it out? And he said, I chip everything away that doesn't look like a lion. And that's what God does with us, right? He chips everything away that doesn't look like God. That parable of the souls and the seeds, it had nothing to do with the seeds. It had to do with the soul. The seed is the word of God. But the soul, if it receives it and it's trust in the Lord, and it bears fruit. Those that are not true, they either don't receive it at all, or they walk off because of the cares and the riches, and they walk off because of the persecution of the word. They were never true believers. So there's only one Christian out of them four people. But he says here, if what you've heard from the beginning abides from you, you will also abide in the Son, or remain in the Son, and in the Father. And this is the promise he's promised to us, eternal life. In other words, because we are kept by the power of God, and we continue to believe and continue to trust, we continue to follow him, we have eternal life, right? That's what we call the perseverance of the saints. And if you're really truly a believer, you can never lose your salvation. And people would disagree with that, but there was a book I think the guy wrote, he says, your God is too small. I mean, what kind of God is it says, I give you eternal life and you shall never perish? And then he said, oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't really eternal. You can walk away, or you can leave, or I'm going to take it away from you again. What kind of God is that? I have written these things that you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you hope you have eternal life, but you know you have eternal life, right? So we persevere because we believe, and because he keeps us, right? I mean, if it was up to me, I'd lose my salvation every day probably, or at least once a week. If it was up to us, and then you go to Hebrews 6, and Hebrews 6 says it's impossible to renew those again to faith. So people say, well, it says you can lose your salvation. But then they don't want to go all the way, because it says if you can lose it, you can never get it back. So if you can lose it, get it back, how do you know you really got it when you die? Oh, no. That's scary. That's terrible. That's not what kind of God we serve. And he says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. See, the false believers are going to try to deceive. They're in the church. They're wherever. They're going to say, you believe in that Jesus? You believe that mess in the Bible? Come on now. I forget what the guy, the little story about the little girl was on the plane or something, and she was reading about Jonah, and the guy says, you believe that story, Jonah and the whale, or the Jonah and the big fish, and Did the whale really swallow him? And he stayed in there for 3 days and spit out and said, yeah, I believe that. You think he went to heaven? He said, sure he did. He said, well, what? He said, well, when you get to heaven, why don't you ask him? He said, well, what if he didn't go to heaven? He said, well, you ask him then. Because you don't believe the Bible. You went headed the wrong way, Bubba. So you ask him when you get there. But the bottom line is those are going to try to deceive you. They're going to try to run a line on you. I don't know. I hope and pray, and I think they do, that they you know, I went through a process that they asked me what I taught and believed and different things before I came in here a few years ago. And I, you know, I'm assuming that they do that with everybody, and everybody that comes in here is a solid Bible teacher. Some places they just let anybody come in and teach, right? Or if you're out down the street and you're living in a house or apartment or something, and people knocking on your doors. I guess they ain't knocking on your doors now. They're writing you letters. I got some the other day, one for my wife and one for me. Say, we got the truth, yeah. No, you don't. File 13. Yep, that's trash. Y'all ain't got the truth. Call yourself witnesses. You're the false witnesses. You ain't Jehovah's Witnesses, that's for sure. He says, but the anointing which you have received from him and abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but it's the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie. And just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. He says you have an anointing. You have that spirit of the Holy One that lives and remains in you, right? And you do not need anyone to teach you. Doesn't mean that you don't come and you don't get Bible teachers teach you, right? It doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is you can't understand the scriptures for yourself, right? Yes, we need teachers. Yes, we need people to help us. And what's John doing? He's teaching the people. He wrote the book, right? So he's not saying you don't need any teachers at all, right? But what he's saying is that God will speak to us. You know, if you're a Christian and sometimes you're reading the Bible, you might have read that verse 22 times or 2,200 times, and the 23rd, 100th time you read it, and all of a sudden it jumps off the page and slaps you upside the head. You go, wow, man, that's amazing. God just shows you something that's in that scripture, and that was God that did that, right? He shows you something and he teaches you. And know that it's true and it's not a lie. It's like the guy, he was a new Christian, and he was a Indian guy, and he was walking down the street with the guy, and the guy just led him to the Lord, and he was walking down the street, and there's this old false teacher standing on the corner down there, and he was just throwing his mess out there, just teaching, and the Indian guy stopped, and he starts listening to the other guy, and I'm like, oh man, I hope he don't get turned around, messed up by this false teacher over here. And as soon as the guy come back, you know what he said? He come back and he said, well, what'd you think about what that guy had to say? He said, all I could hear in my spirit was liar, liar, liar. See, we got a spiritual lie detector in us. And when people are teaching false stuff or it ain't right, something in us is going to go, that ain't right. Bubba. You know, I can turn on the TV, you know, just because it's on TV or the radio, then people are paying for that airtime. And most of them, unless it's a Christian station, they don't care who they put on there because they get money in their pocket, right? So you might see a good teacher, and the next one might be just as heretic as it can be, crazy, you know, wackos you can get out there. But then people are on there, and they telling you all that stuff. Man, I turn that stuff on sometime, and I say, I want to listen and see what that guy say, just so I can hear. As soon as I start hearing that guy, all of a sudden, the hair on the back of my head just starts standing up. And I go, oh, and I turn channel, like, oh, let me see what he's saying now. Oh, and then my hair starts standing up. I can't listen to you, you know. I got to turn you off. I can't listen to you. Some people can listen to that, but I just can't. My hair just stands up on the back of my head. But God has put in us a spiritual lie detector if we're Christians. And we can listen to somebody. We can know that doesn't sound right. That isn't right. That's true. Yes. My spirit speaks to their spirit. It goes, yes, all right, amen, brother. All right, yeah, you preach it. Oh, no, son, You out in left field, son. You ain't even in the ballpark, Bubba. You done left the building, and you're gone. But he says, that these things will remain in us, and we'll know these lies, and we'll know the truth, and we'll continue to remain in Him because we know the truth. And that's the confidence we have, people, that there's going to be Antichrist, and they're going to leave the church, and some of them are going to stick around, but they're going to be there, and they're going to try to deceive us, and they're going to try to lie to us, and they're not going to try to tell us something different. And when you run into one of them people, you just got to run hard as you can the other way. Find you another church. Find you another person that calls herself a friend. Stay away from them people that's teaching all that wacko stuff, because you don't want to get caught up in it. When somebody says, "Let me tell you about the secret stuff. I can get you into the real depths of knowing God, this, you know, unique stuff, this, yeah, run." Whew. Because they're going to try to lead you down a path that's crazy and crooked. The truth is here tonight that it is the last hour. And there's many people out there teaching false stuff. And some of them are going to leave, and some of them are going to still be in the church. And they're going to try to deceive us. But you know what? We just keep on reading and believing the truth. I don't know how they do it now, but the FBI used to, they didn't study all the fake dollar bills or $100 bills or whatever it is, thousand, whatever they make now, probably hundreds, and that's probably what most people counterfeit, I guess. 20s and hundreds, but they were studying so well that they know the real thing, so when they see the fakes, you know what? They knew the fake because they know what the real thing looks like. And that's what the Bible says, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's in you. Study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. That's 1 Timothy 2:15. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And then the people come knocking on the door trying to tell us something that, something new, something wrong, something ain't true. Then we say, "Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more." Hit the road, Jack. Don't even come back. They're going to be there, but we got to be ready. And if you don't know the Lord tonight, guys, if the Lord's convicted you tonight that you don't know Him, ask the Lord to forgive you tonight. If you believe that Jesus is God and He died in your place and He died for your sins and He was buried and He rose again the third day and He lives at the right hand of the Father making intercession, and there's nothing you can do to earn it, to deserve it, to pay for it, but as the old song says, Jesus paid it all. He didn't leave anything for us to do. Our part is to believe, right? And He said we love Him because He first loved us, and so He draws us and He says, "I love you and I died for you. Don't you want what's best? Don't you want..." Like I said, this life's going to be hard no matter what we do. It may even be harder as a Christian. I don't know. Depends upon who you are. Depends upon what happens as time goes on. But you know what? I'd rather get what He's got for me down the road. And it says in Romans 8:18, "The suffering of this world is not worthy to be compared with the glory which we'll have in heaven." So right, we might suffer for a while now. We might have it hard now. But you know what? One day it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. So trust in Him today. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to save you. And then the Bible says it's by faith, right? You take Him at His word. That's faith. That's believing, right? God said it. I believe it. God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Save me. Change me. Break all these chains in my life and make me one of your children. Do that today. Ask Him. Believe Him. Trust Him. And begin to live for Him. Read your Bible. Study. Pray. Get one of these things and you'll know what the unbendables are, those main things. You know, we can agree to disagree on a lot of things, but these things, if people don't come to believe these somewhere down the road, they're not real. Because these are the main things. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for all of these guys. We just ask if there's one here that doesn't know You tonight, they would cry out and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me. Lord, and if somebody here tonight does that, me or Dale would love to hear that, and we'd love to speak with them a little bit more. And our Lord, if somebody's been touched tonight, just Lord, we just thank you for working in our lives, working in our hearts, and being glorified. Lord, we just ask you to work in our lives and do whatever it is you need to do, and we just thank you for who you are, and thank you that you thought enough of us, loved us so much that you paid for our sins on the cross that we might have eternal life. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, and a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addictions, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free, and these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button, or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you, and God bless you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32.